In the catechism that I grew up with and taught till 1991, the fifth chief part was called the Office of the Keys, putting three questions, probably not authored by Luther and not found in the Book of Concord, in front of three questions that were both. That influenced the teaching of this section. Rather than another means for forgiving sins, giving the Spirit and working faith, an office was emphasized. Luther, by contrast, never wanted to give up private confession. He said, "I would not give it up for all the treasures in the world," and that if you really knew the devil like he did, you'd never give it up. And this view wasn't only his. Chemnitz, who went on to systemize confessional Lutheranism, said, "But with those who entirely take out of the church the use of private absolution, our churches have nothing in common." So from the 40s till the 80s, the LCMS and most confessional synods in America had nothing in common with 16th century confessional Lutheranism. Do we? We answered that question by answering another: what is confession? Confession has two parts, we say emphatically, because Catholicism has at least three. While Catholicism has the first two steps that we do, contrition, absolution, our Apology of the Augsburg Confession says there remains the third step, satisfaction, doing penance, to redeem from purgatory or blot out guilt. Now, this is not the changed life that follows being forgiven that we will speak of. This is satisfying God by doing works. Only when penance is done properly can you be sure of being forgiven. And when do sinners ever do with unmixed motives, intentions, or feelings? And so, if you were honest, forgiveness is never sure under that system. There is no third part. And don't get stuck on the first part, contrition, either. Don't question whether repentance comes from being caught or you being sorry for disappointing God. Don't ask, are you sorry enough? Don't ask, is your confession complete enough, detailed enough? No matter how you answer these questions, you're wrong. Hear Luther. God's promise is sure in the sacrament. Our remorse is never sure. He therefore does not want us to build on the shaky remorse, but on his sure promise, so that we'll be able to stand in all times of need. The goal of private confession is not to discover or display sins, but to forgive them. Doctors don't glory in finding sickness or the disgusting details of it, but in giving healing. You probably get that confession has two parts. What about absolution? Is it a third sacrament? The 43 explanation of our catechism gave no indication that it was. And so most confirmed in that catechism thought private confession Catholic. The 1991 catechism says sometimes holy absolution is considered as a third sacrament even though it has no divinely visible elements. And then they cite, but they don't actually quote, the confessions, which actually do call it a sacrament. Here, the 2017 explanation is better. Quote, "Although it does not have a visible element, like water or bread and wine, holy absolution is counted as a third sacrament by Luther in the Large Confession and the Large Catechism and the Apology." This is important. You all know that a pogo stick is unstable. You know that a bipod is more stable. And a tripod is the most stable because a level plane is marked by 3 points. So, Reformed and Evangelicals who don't believe God's spirit or forgiveness comes through physical means, they do still use scripture. So, they have a pogo stick stability. Those Lutherans taught of two sacraments, they have bipods. We have a tripod. Even the devils know this is powerful. The 15th century book, Hammer of Witches, says investigators found that some witches denied all the articles of faith and others only denied some, but quote, "But they all are bound to deny true and sacramental confession. Confession is a two-part sacrament with two benefits. Like all sacraments, it was instituted by Christ. Easter evening, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Read Genesis 2, the creation of man. Quote, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." As the first time the Lord breathed into man, he empowered him to pass on physical life. So this second time, he empowers him to pass on spiritual life, the Spirit and the forgiveness of sins. So, the first benefit of confession is forgiveness. In fact, Luther maintained that unless you seek forgiveness at the mouth of a man, you won't find it on earth. Now, true, the Lord on Easter evening instituted an office to forgive sins publicly, but any Christian can pronounce forgiveness in Jesus' name. This is Luther late in life. Quote, "When I lay my hands pronouncing absolution, it is the same as if God himself had done it. Likewise, when a boy or a woman pronounces absolution, because both are members of Christ and have his power. We are not on this account to disparage the public office of the ministry, which God wants to be free of contempt. But in an emergency," says Luther, "when no one else is available, a boy speaks the absolution and lays his hand on my head, and it's just as powerful." See, there is no other way to forgive sins than based on the holy life the God-man lived in our place and his damn death upon a cross. You sure can't forgive sins in your own name. Pastors have a public office. I too forgive sins in Jesus' name, but I do so by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word. You want to know what God himself thinks about your sin? Ask your pastor. He has been commanded by God to tell you. Think of your pastor like a McDonald's franchise. I remember when one finally opened where I lived. It was a big deal. Well, the local Christian church is to be a forgiveness franchise. This is how Luther viewed it. Quote, "If I knew that God were in a certain place and would absolve me, I would not go to some other place, but would receive absolution in that place as often as I could." The other benefit of confession and absolution isn't regarded as such today. Not forgiving sins, but binding them. This is found in Jesus' words instituting the sacrament. In fact, binding sins is one of the ways we know the loosing happens. In answer to what do we believe according to Jesus' words on Easter evening, our explanation says, "I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular, when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation." Churches practicing open communion, they don't recognize sins in doctrine. How could they believe teaching, living, or believing contrary to Scripture is sinful when they don't exclude anybody from communion? Therefore, their loosing of sins is not valid or certain in heaven. Where the binding key is used, where a pastor will say your sin is not forgiven, you can't partake of communion, you know that right here is a place that doesn't want you to go to hell, no matter how mad you get, no matter how much you complain, no matter how much you vilify them. Confession is a two-part sacrament with two benefits and one goal: receiving absolution, that is forgiveness. Stop fooling yourself. Unconfessed sin is not inert. I don't mean sin not confessed to another person. I mean not confessed at all before God. Unconfessed sin is the puncture wound that doctors worry over. It appears healed on the outside, but it is festering on the inside. This is David. He says when he kept silent about his sin, his bones wasted away and he groaned all day. God's hand was heavy upon him. This is the disciples in the upper room tonight. They all say, surely I'm not the one that will betray Jesus. Within 2 hours, they're all going to do it. Read the Telltale Heart. Watch The Machinist or Vanish. Read Dostoevsky or Graham Greene, or even Stephen King for that matter, knows the devastating power of guilt. Guilt can come from unconfessed sin, but more often, it comes from unreceived absolution. Judas is going to confess his sins. You can't get much clearer of a confession than, I betrayed innocent blood. The Old Testament church leaders didn't absolve him. He couldn't live with his guilt, and so killed himself. Many people think they can, and they do, live with unforgiven sin just fine. Maybe so, but you can't die with it without dying forever. The goal of confession is your forgiveness. A result of that happening is a changed life. The person who knows he stands before God in heaven, forgiven, clean, clothed in Jesus' blood and righteousness, so that not a single sin in thinking, doing, or speaking remains visible, must be, will be, can't but be changed. A changed life is a result of having confessed your sin and been absolved of them. People living together outside of marriage. People who identify themselves as Christian homosexuals, Christian lesbians, Christian transgender. They're not one bit different than a thief or murderer or liar who wishes to keep his sin with Christ's blessing. That's just not possible. If a changed life is not the result, either sin was not confessed or not absolved. At the same time, we have to point out, a changed life doesn't cause forgiveness. That's how Catholicism views that third part of Catholic private confession, penance. It's satisfying God. It's making up for your sin. Have you ever found an old set of keys laying around? You notice how rusty they are, and they're unlikely to work. Keys used regularly get brighter and brighter. But if they're laid aside, unused, they grow rusty. Evangelist Billy Sunday said, dust on your Bible is rust on your soul. Well, rust on the keys is dust on your soul. Luther notes that as soon as the Pope's requirement of private confession once a year is rejected by Lutherans, the keys were pocketed. In his 1529 exhortation to confession, he said, therefore, when I urge you to go to confession, I'm simply urging you to be a Christian. From the same document, if you are a Christian, you need neither my compulsion nor the Pope's command at any point, but you will force yourself to go and ask me that you may share in it. Then Luther uses an illustration of a wounded deer. They always head for water. Luther says, rush forward toward the absolution like a hunted deer. It's been observed by another that whenever in the history of Christianity, the Spirit of God through the gospel has awakened true repentance and a living faith in individuals or congregations, we meet with an irresistible impulse towards the revealing of sins to a confessor. What is confession? It's the answer to the wounded, hunted, hounded soul's need. Amen.